Please turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And let's consider this morning the theme of serving God. I believe the Bible reveals to us God. The Bible reveals to us who is God, what His character and attributes are like. The Bible reveals to us the plans and the purposes of God. The Bible gives us commandments. The Bible gives us promises. The Bible tells us how to relate to God. All of this is given to us. You might say all of this revelation, all of this information is given to us, embodied in the Holy Bible, so that we might trust in God, so that we might serve God, so that we might obey God, so that we might love God. In other words, this revelation, consisting of the Holy Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is given to us so that we might relate to God properly. And that we might understand that God is worthy of our faith, that He's worthy of our service, that He's worthy of our obedience, and that there's no better way to live. So let's consider this theme this morning of serving God. And I'll have 5 points to my outline this morning. And we're simply going to say, serve God, number one. We'll have serve God, number two. Serve God, number three. So first of all, number one, serve God with courage. Number one, serve God with courage. We don't need to feel ashamed about serving God. We don't need to feel abashed. We don't need to feel timid or be cowards in serving God. And yet serving God requires a definitive decision. It requires us making up our minds to serve God. As Joshua said, he said, we'll get to there in chapter 24, but he says later in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve God. There's no ambivalence in the words of Joshua. There's no equivocation. There's no doubts in his mind as to whom he is going to serve. Joshua has thought about it. Joshua knows that it is right to serve God. And of course, later in the book, when we get to chapters 23 and 24, Joshua is giving his exhortation to the people to serve God. And Joshua has already made up his mind, and he is firm. He is rigid. He has made his resolve that he will serve God, and there's no buts or ifs about it. And that's the kind of courage and resolve that we need to have. Interestingly enough, if we're there in chapter 1, in chapter 1 of Joshua, God speaks to Joshua. And God encourages Joshua to serve the Lord. When we get to chapters 23 and 24, Joshua in turn is giving his farewell address to the people, and Joshua is now encouraging the people to serve God. And I believe everything that occurs between chapters 1 and chapters 24 is designed to encourage us to serve God. So number one, we are to serve God with courage, with confidence. So let's begin reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And then notice, if you will, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua is being encouraged to serve the Lord and to carry out God's plan, which is to bring these people into the promised land. God has promised to give them this land. God has promised to fight for them. God has promised to drive out these pagan inhabitants. And God has said, I will do it for you. And so Joshua is being encouraged to take great confidence in the Lord's presence. God has said, I will be with you. No one will be able to stand against you. So there is the presence of God in which he is to find courage and confidence. And then there's also the plan of God God has said, my purpose, my plan is to give you this land. It's a gift from God, Jehovah, to you, my people. I'm giving it to you out of the goodness of my heart. So God's plan is to give them the land and to bring them into it. God has made promises. And so Joshua is to be courageous and confident in the plans of God and in the promises of God. And then Joshua is also to be courageous and bold to keep the commandments of the Lord. If you will, notice verses 7 and 8. Not only is to be strong and of good courage regarding the presence of God, and not only is Joshua to be strong and of good courage regarding the plans and the promises of God, but in verse 7 we find that Joshua is to be strong and courageous in keeping the will of God. Notice verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So my second point this morning is serve God with unwavering devotion. Number two, serve God with unwavering devotion. Did you notice that God did not say to Joshua, Joshua, you know, you're just human. You know, you're a good guy. You know, you have your faults. We all have faults. All people have faults. Don't worry about it. Just try to do the best you can. God didn't say that to Joshua. Now, of course, we all try to do the best we can. We cling to God's grace. We ask God to forgive us our sins. We read the Bible and we ask the Holy Spirit to transform us and keep working on us. But in our human nature, we almost wished God cut us a lot of slack and just said, oh, Joshua, don't worry, but just do the best you can. If you mess up, you know, from time to time, who cares? It's not a big deal. That's not what God says to Joshua. You be very strong. You be very courageous. You be very determined. You be very bold, because there's going to be a lot of temptation out there to make you reason and rationalize and say to yourself, well, I don't need to obey God in everything. But God says, be bold, be strong, be courageous, be determined, so that you may observe to do everything that is written in the law of Moses, to keep it. And then and only then you'll have success and prosperity. And only then will you be able to experience a full measure of God's blessing in your life. Now, were these people going to go in and experience hardship? Were they going to see problems? Were they going to be overwhelmed by the enemy and by the size of their armies and their well-fortified cities? Yes. These people are going to be called to go out and attack and engage in battle. The road ahead was not easy. God wanted to involve them in the process of taking the land, but they had to trust God. They had to step out in faith. The soldiers had to put on all of their military armaments and equipment and take out their weapons and go out and fight. But God said, I will be with you and I will bless you and I will give you victory. So there was this need to really exercise faith, to trust God, and yes, to keep His commands and to obey, because that is what God requires. God must be supreme in our lives and His will must be final, because anything else is a sham. If we claim to be serving God, but we're not interested in what His will is, and we're not even interested in doing it, then our actions betray our words. And as we'll see in a minute, I believe if we were to read all of Joshua, perhaps in one sitting, and sort of have the whole picture pass through our minds, I believe we would conclude that God is showing His people that God is absolutely worthy of being served. So that's my third point this morning. Serve God because He is worthy. Serve God because He is worthy. In other words, God has proven Himself time and time again to be adequate, to be sufficient, to be enough for you and me. And what God is going to tell His people, the Israelites here, is, look it, I've done this for you, and I've done this for you, and I've done all these things. I brought you out from the land of Egypt. I gave those great signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. I humiliated Pharaoh. I delivered you from Pharaoh. I brought you out into the wilderness. I fed you. I sustained you. I gave you my law. I entered into a covenant with you. I made a promise to give you the promised land out of the goodness of my heart. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't deserve it. You rebelled time and time against me in the wilderness, but I forgave you. I love you. And the only thing that's sustaining this relationship between you people and me is because I love you. And I'm going to fulfill my promises. And I'm going to bring you into the promised land. I'm going to drive out the... I'm going to do all of this. God is in effect saying to his people, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of your love, your service, your obedience, and your devotion. And God is also going to say to these people through Joshua, what did all the pagan idols do for you? What did all the gods and the idols of the nations do for you? What did the gods of the land from which you came do to you? What did the gods in the land of Egypt do for you? The implied answer is absolutely nothing. So then, what Joshua is telling these people, if you think about it, if you use your head, if you're rational, if you're logical, if you're intelligent, if you really contemplate the situation, we should serve God. It's the only rational and logical decision here. If you will, go to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. Let's just fast forward down to the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 23. Notice verse 3. Joshua 23 and verse 3. Joshua says to the people, as part of his word of encouragement to get these people to serve God, he says in verse 3, you have seen, in other words, you've actually witnessed with your own two eyes all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. The Lord your God is he who has fought for you. In other words, Joshua is saying to these people, God is worthy of being served. All you have to do is just look and see what God has done for you. All you have to look at and see is his power and how he has been gracious to you and he's on your side. His presence is with you. And he's going to fight for you. Notice, if you will, verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. But you shall hold fast or cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For here's the reason why. God is worthy. God has demonstrated, he has proven himself as being sufficient for these people. This is what verse 9 says. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. The next verse goes on to say one man among the Israelites will be able to chase 1,000 of the enemies. Why? Because that man is such a great soldier? He's so good with his bow and arrow? No, because God is with him. That makes all the difference in the world. You see, Joshua is telling these people, you know, if you really stop and think about all that God has done for you, the only rational, the only logical conclusion is we serve God because he is worthy and deserving of our obedience. Notice verse 14. As Joshua continues on with his theme of God being worthy of being served. Notice verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. In other words, he's going to die. He's getting old. And you know. In other words, you know because you've seen it. You know because you've experienced it. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God has spoken concerning you. Everything has come to pass. Not one word has failed. Again, Joshua is trying to tell the people, look it. If you really think about things, if you use your mind and contemplate the past, if you contemplate the present, if you really seriously consider the works of the Lord, the only logical conclusion you can come to is that God is worthy of being served. He is such a good God. He has proven himself time and time again to be adequate for these people, and I would submit to you that God is adequate for us as well. If you will, go to chapter 24. Chapter 24. And again, Joshua spends a long time recounting Israel's blessings and what God has done to motivate these people to serve God and to serve only him. So, in chapter 24, verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And he called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river, that would be the river Euphrates, in old times. And what did they do? They served other gods. Then I, God, took your father Abraham from the other side of the river. I led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and I multiplied his descendants, and I gave him Isaac, or Yitzhak. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And I came, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, and that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not one of your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. You see, God is saying through Joshua, these are all the things I did for you. None of the pagan gods, none of the idols of the nations did any of this for these people. And so these people are being motivated to serve God, because if they're serious about contemplating the works of God, again, I repeat for emphasis, they can come to no other conclusion that God is worthy. He's entitled. He's deserving of being served. Fast forward down to our lives in the year 2012. God is equally worthy of being served. He's the creator of the entire universe. He has sustained us. Furthermore, God has sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has intervened. God has interposed the precious blood of Christ so that we would not experience the wrath of God. Jesus came doing the will of God, doing all those signs and wonders to show the goodness of his kingdom. Jesus was nailed to a cross for my sins, for your sins. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus has promised to come back, and we have a place in the eternal, everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. All of this is the work of the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes, and God has done all of this for us through Christ so that we would serve God and we would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a salvation for which we did not work. We have blessings in Christ Jesus that we did not build. We enjoy untold promises of blessing both now and to come from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we didn't plant them. Exactly like what the Israelites experienced. God's grace was active and present back then, and we of all people get to experience God's grace in untold measure, both now and throughout all eternity. The third point this morning is simply God. We serve God. Serve God because he is worthy. Number four, serve God with fear. Serve God with fear. In other words, we need to serve God with the utmost of respect. We need to realize with whom we are dealing. We're dealing with God. God is to be taken seriously rather than lightly. We're not supposed to trivialize God or marginalize God and just push God off to the sidelines of our lives. God is to be central. We are to focus our heart, mind, souls upon God. God is worthy of my total being. After all, the Lord Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your soul, with all your heart, your mind, and strength, and so forth. And love others as yourself. And so we are to serve God with fear. If you will, in Joshua 23, just look at Joshua 23. and verses 15 and 16 again. Joshua 23 verse 15 says, "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God has promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you." You know, it's a serious thing to serve God. It's a serious thing to have a relationship with God. If we deliberately and willfully disobey, if we start worshiping and serving other idols, we trivialize God, we marginalize God, God is not going to take it too kindly. And although we are believers in Christ Jesus and our salvation is secure in Christ, and we will not experience the wrath of God for our sins, God may very well spank us to get us to wake up and come back to him. So, serving God is serious business, and Joshua is trying to point this out. Reggie, you have a question.
I just wanted to ask you something. When you said before that we should fear God, did you mean we're supposed to be afraid of God?
Yes and no. How do you like that for an answer? Yes and no. Just to go back to my childhood. My father was my father. Okay? When he asked me to do something, why do you think I did it?
Because he was your father.
Yeah, that's part of it. He was my father.
He would discipline you?
If I didn't do it, and I was, let's say I was deliberately and willfully defiant. It wasn't just that I forgot to do it, and my father could cut me some slack. Okay, son, you know, you had a lot of things to do. You forgot to do it. You didn't get around to it. But if I'm showing a willful, defiant attitude, don't you think there'd be consequences?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so I'm carrying that simple childhood illustration over to God. I mean, I don't want to go out and start deliberately and willfully and defiantly disobeying God and go on some sort of, you know, reckless, wild rampage of disobedience because I'm afraid of what might happen.
Okay, thanks, I understand.
I mean, it's real. But on the other hand, we shouldn't focus on the fact that I'm afraid of what God might do to me if I don't serve him well. We shouldn't focus on that exclusively. We focus more on God's love. God loves me. And even when I sin and fail and I miss the mark and I transgress, the Holy Spirit works to give me a humble, contrite heart. I run to the Lord, I ask for forgiveness, and God is more than willing to forgive. We have the wonderful promise in 1 John. We confess our sins. God is faithful. And he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Why is God faithful and just to do that? Because I'm so good? No, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing me from all sin. So yes, it's true when we talk about fearing God, you know, there's a sense in which we really need to fear the power of the Lord. God is all powerful. He's sovereign. There's nothing that he cannot do. On the other hand, we shouldn't be so obsessed with that that we live in a sense of terror that at every little misstep God is going to zap us or judge us. No. God loves us. He knows, it says in Psalm 139, God knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows all of our shortcomings. He knows the frailties of our humanity. I mean, after all, that's why Jesus was nailed to the cross. Because we are weak, we are frail, we are vulnerable, we are deficient. For all have sinned and all have coming short of the glory. God knows all of that. And he works to meet us in our greatest need, through Jesus Christ. So I hope that helps to answer.
Yes, it did.
And I'm glad you brought it up because that did need clarification. So we need to take God seriously and fear him, or we might say hold him in the utmost respect because of who he is, what he has done and what he can do. And let's go to my last point, number 5, and we'll end with this point this morning. We need to serve God, or you might just simply put down, serve God exclusively. Serve God exclusively. And I believe that's the message coming from Joshua.
You spelled that last week.
Exclusively. Okay, let's hope I spelled it correctly. Exclusively. Exclusively. Let me spell that again. Exclusively. Exclusively. In other words, we only serve the Lord. Joshua is telling these people, don't serve the other gods. Now, there might have been a temptation on the part of these Israelites. Well, I can just hang on to the gods from the river Euphrates. I can hang on to the gods in the land of Canaan. I can hang on to the gods of Egypt. And I can also serve God. God says, no way. Absolutely no way. Because God commands his people, you shall have no other gods before you. So we're not serving God properly. We're not serving God in the way that he wants us to serve him if we're trying to cling to other idols. And that was the danger that the Israelites were facing. Because after all, the pagans worshipped a pantheon of false gods. And they all thought these false gods had some real power or real influence over their lives and over their destiny. And God says, no. I'm the one that has influence over your lives and I'm the one that controls your destiny. Not these pagan idols or deities. And so let's read now. Let's just wrap it up here with the final passages. Let's look at Joshua 24. Chapter 24. And verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. And this is being told after God has recounted all that they've done for him. In other words, one of the reasons for fearing God is, boy, look at all the good things he's done for you. Look at the promise he's made. Now take God seriously. Fear him. Hold him in the utmost respect because nobody else can do these things for you that God has done. So we're told here now, therefore, fear the Lord. And what should we do? Serve him. Work for him. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, serve him with a whole heart. Put your whole heart and your mind and your strength. Put the totality of your being into serving God. And then notice the next statement. If we're going to serve God in sincerity and in truth, what must these Israelites do? And the next statement says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And then that final statement, that final command, it's only three words at the end of verse 14, says, serve the Lord. You know, that's really the upshot of the whole Bible. Trust God. Worship God, serve the Lord. You know, Joshua cannot make it any more plain than simply telling these people, serve the Lord. But they can't be ambivalent. They can't sit on the fence. They can't rationalize among themselves. Well, we'll serve God a little bit. I mean, we'll throw God a dog bone. We'll try to keep God happy. And we'll try to appease all these other gods, either in the land of Canaan or the gods that we worshipped or knew of down in Egypt. And there's that temptation not to be exclusive in giving to God what is rightfully due him. One final verse, or two verses actually. Let's just look at verses 23 and 24. Same chapter, Joshua 24, and look at verse 23. Now therefore, Joshua said, he says it once again, put away, get rid of the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, God of Israel. In other words, steer your heart with all of its goals and affections and desires and aspirations. Steer and turn your will, turn your mind, turn your thoughts toward God. Incline your heart to the Lord your God. And the people said to Joshua, verse 24, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. It gets back to the whole idea. We cannot be claiming to serve God if we're not willing to obey him. Serve God, the people said. We will serve God. And what will we do? What will we do to show that we're serving God? We will obey his voice. And hopefully what the people mean here is we will obey his voice exclusively. We won't obey or heed the voice of any pagan gods or pagan idols. Now for just a moment, let's consider some of the idols of our time. We all know the usual three: money, sexual pleasure, and power and control. Those are often held up as the idols of our time that people serve and worship. But let me suggest a couple of others that we don't readily think about. There is today the god of self-sufficiency. I don't need God. I'm perfectly fine. I can make it on my own. Those people who worship God and those Christians who go to church and read the Bible and worship Jesus, well, they just go through life because they need a crutch. They need a crutch. They can't make it through life on their own. They need a crutch to hobble through life. Those are just weak people. I'm strong. I can make it. I don't need God. But that's one of the very real idols of our day. It's the god of self-sufficiency. The other god of our day is human reason. The mind. The mind of man. I worship the mind of man. Don't tell me about the mind of God that's revealed in the Bible. My mind I worship. Whatever I think. My own reasoning. My own thoughts. My own wisdom. My own conclusions become the god to which I bow down and serve. It's not wrong to be smart. If God has blessed you with a high IQ, praise God. But all of our minds should be obedient and submissive to the authority of God and to God's will expressed in the Bible. God never intended us to use our minds independently of God. And yet one of the gods, one of the idols of our day, is human reason and human wisdom. After all, some say that man, in my own reasoning and in my own wisdom, man is the measure of all things. Why do I need God to start measuring things? So these are two gods that we have to avoid. We need to bring our minds into obedience to Christ and the gospel, and we need to cling to God because we really, really need God. We really can't make it on our own. God is sustainer and savior. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, we would all be in a terrible fix and a terrible predicament as we stand in the presence of God. In fact, we can only be in the presence of God because Jesus Christ has interposed his precious blood for us. Well, we've said all of this to say, serve God. And it's our pleasure, it's our joy, it's our delight to serve God. And I trust I will serve God well in the year 2012, and I trust you will serve him well in 2012. Let's pray. Lord God, we bow before you. We thank you for the direction, for the encouragement, for the instruction of your word. And may we all, after contemplating these scripture passages, be more motivated to serve you. May we be more excited about serving you. And may we realize afresh the joy, the privilege, the pleasure, the opportunity that is ours to serve the true and the living God and to serve his son, Jesus Christ, and to even wait for Jesus Christ from heaven. Lord, bless this message. Bless the word of God to the enrichment of our lives. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Father.